Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hi, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up this week? Hi, Barbara.
Hello, groomers. Welcome to episode 204 of the Groom Pod, recorded on April 14th, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Stazco, Show Season, South Park, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, we will be fishing for the perfect client. We'll learn about oatmeal again. And we're going to get some studying tips for if you're going to do the certification thing. So you can join our discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod and find everything else at our website, thegroompod.com. I have been getting all of my bad haircuts from the first week back after the snow. Bad haircuts. Oh my God. I was rushing. I was squeezing in extra dogs. It's so funny.
So you're saying that your grooming was bad haircuts and they're coming back at you and you're seeing all your mistakes.
That is exactly what's happening.
That sounds painful to me.
You know, it is a little bit painful, actually. You know, I'm surviving it. I'll just say that. But it was obvious that I didn't start at the feet and work up. A lot of faces were just kind of left alone. So I have a little disproportionate haircutting. But everybody was fine with it. One lady said to me, "That last haircut was a bad one, but don't worry about it because it was right after the snow and you were in a hurry. You might remember." And I hadn't remembered, but I blew the dog out and there were sticky outies every direction. His legs were horrible. But this is one of those dogs that I have an awful time with that I have to hand scissor because the legs are so bad and they're so crooked and she likes it long and she brushes. You know, we're going to talk a little bit later about the perfect client. My perfect client is not necessarily someone that brushes their dog. That has not helped me out that much.
So I know, you know what? I always say you need to comb. It never occurs to them to comb. They think a brush out means you just use a brush.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I know.
Especially with the way this guy's feet are, there's no way it's not going to mat up at his wrists because the wrists are all at a weird angle and hair just isn't meant to flow that way there. And it just makes this gigantic mess. But she's good enough to keep it tangle free. So, I mean, as close to tangle free as you can get with the exception of that one spot. So I'm able to hide it. But I'm not the best at that. That is not my area of expertise by any means. So I took the dog back in and I laughed and I said, "Boy, that really was a bad haircut." And she goes, "Yeah, don't worry about it." And I said, "You know, if you ever decide you actually want your dog beautifully scissored and you fire me, I will completely understand why." And she said, no, it's far more important to have the haircut done by somebody I trust and have it done here than it is that it looks perfect. I was just giving you a bad time. They're cool people. They're very unique and I like them a lot. And I'm happy that they like me because I like the dog. That's a Khotan and I like him.
Okay. So I have a funny for you.
Oh, good.
I give you a new definition of hairballs.
Okay.
So I took, against my better judgment, and I won't do it again, an 11-year-old chow for a lion cut.
Wow.
So I had no connection with this person. I don't normally accept those kind of grooms. I don't really believe in clipping that kind of hair. But you know what? The dog's 11 years old. If he's had 11 haircuts, it grows back. So it's not going to be on me. And I thought, oh God, I haven't done a nice lion cut in a long time. Well, now I know why, because it's very exhausting, like blowing out the whole chow and then working the clipper vac through the coat. So I'm clipping it. He's such a good dog. I was so privileged to meet this dog. Sometimes you just know when a dog is a special spirit and it comes across your table.
For sure.
And this dog named Pup Star, he was a special spirit. And he was so willing to cooperate and so good. But he was a little bit stiff and not really willing to let me lift up his leg to clip his groin area. So I did the best I could from one side and then the other side. And Yvonne was at the tub, like right in view of his rear end, right? And yes. She's in the tub bathing a dog. She looks over to see how I'm doing, and she says, he has really nice looking testicles. And I felt back there, and it wasn't testicles at all. It was a hairball.
Oh, my gosh.
I had carved a perfect hairball back there.
That's funny.
And I'm feeling, I mean, you know, like it's, there's no flesh in there. I have been very careful.
That's but pretty funny.
That is funny, you know. And so, of course, it just took two swipes to neuter him. Right. You know, I had another one along a similar line since we're there. I had this coal black doodle puppy, you know, like 17 weeks. And he was such a good boy, but he was all over the place, literally. It, really hard to restrain. He was just climbing out of every restraint and just, you know, all over the place. Well, when I have a small to medium dog that I want to clip the groin area, one easy access is to hold him up by the front legs, and then it makes the skin all taut, so you're not likely to clip into a fold, and you can see everything. So I'm trying to lift up one leg to see. The other way to do it is to lift up a back leg and do on the inside of that. So I lift up the leg, and I saw it looked like the dog had the longest penis in the world. I said, shit, dude, you've got a long penis. And I came out of my mouth. And I picked him up, and to get a better look at it, I picked up his forelegs, and it was his tail. He had his little doodle tail tucked under so tightly that it was stretched forward almost to his elbows. And I thought it was a huge log. You know, Yvonne and I were just laughing because, you know, she's 60-something and I'm 70-something. And here we are laughing. Well, doggy genitals are overly involved in doggy genitals.
Well, it's been a while probably since you guys have seen a penis, either one of you, so, you know.
Well, so we're just a little overly observant. Well, yeah, that was funny. It wasn't his fucking tail. So I told the owner because I started to clip it. I said, if you notice, there's a little chunk out of the tip of the tail. I mistook it for another part.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Okay. You're lucky you didn't do it with a clipper back like I would have.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, it was a barely noticeable. That was kind of a whack job. Whack jobs were me this week. I mean, it's a whack job just because I couldn't get anywhere near his face. So that one I sent home with homework. I have people, I tell them to please use some treats or their food and kind of train them into letting you hold their muzzle or even maybe touch it.
I have doodle frustration this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a variety of sizes of doodle. Like I have this whole new breed of doodle that we call the giant doodle. It's just this massive.
Yeah, boy, that's so unfortunate.
Oh, it's horrible. This dog is probably a golden doodle, but it's like the size of a Great Dane. I mean, the dog is huge, and moving him around in the tub is a challenge. Then I've got a family who's had a Havanese, and the dog is a challenge. It has really bad anal glands, and a tail set makes it very difficult for me to express the anal glands externally, and it's very painful. So I'm not going inside on this dog. They're often infected and pussy. And I know pussy is not a word, but his anal glands are gross, and he needs to go to the vet pretty regularly to have them expressed because his anatomy makes it that way. He's a grouchy guy, but he has really decent hair. So we cut it short, and then we don't do it for like 8 weeks. So he's on like an 8 or 10 week schedule, something like that. They got a doodle. A little sister doodle. That doodle is now 6 months, 7 months, maybe 8 months old, probably 8 months old. And it took me forever to get that coat dry. I have no idea why that coat is so much different than the other doodles. I managed to have gotten all of the doodles down to a haircut I can do comfortably with a clipper vac, so I don't have to struggle and penalize people for my having to try to scissor their dog. I explain to people, this is the way to get your dog to look the best with me, and this is the way to keep on my schedule, quite frankly, because if it's too difficult for me, I'm not going to do it. So this dog took me almost 2.5 hours, and it's not a huge doodle, but it is young. She is a young dog, but I don't know what it is about this dog's coat at this stage, but it took me forever to get the dog done. And I was extremely frustrated. She looked beautiful. Maybe I just took longer to scissor finish it. I don't know what happened.
Can I come in on this?
Please do.
It sounds to me like the dog has a very porous and thick coat. And when you have a really porous coat, it does take longer to dry that coat because the hair cuticle is not flat. It's rough. And so it just holds when the cuticle layer is rough or a little curly at the edges of the cuticles, it just gives places for water to hide out. And it also allows for super saturation of the water into the hair cortex. And so you're just chasing more water than you would be on a less porous coat. So I would suggest a results rinse or a vinegar rinse.
I did results rinse after this time, but I still was puzzled because she's not as big as the other dogs. I was just trying to assess what it was that was different, but okay, it didn't occur to me that it actually could be the coat that was different. I perceived it as being the coat, being the drying time, but I really wasn't sure because I wasn't timing myself out as I was doing that groom. When I finished, though, I looked down and bang, I was half an hour late.
Oh,
Like, ah, crap. But that's okay. That's part of being me. Everybody's okay with that. If I need to take a little longer somewhere, I write that into the schedule a little bit. So it was fine, but frustrating because I know that then I go and I do two doodles at the house the next day, and the two doodles together take me 3 hours or 3.5 hours, which is one of them's big, one of them's not. And they both dried like normal dogs. Plus, I cut them short. They get nice, shorter yellow combs all over. I'm good with yellow combs. That's my favorite comb. Give me a yellow comb all over. I'm a happy girl. Do you any chance that her adult coat is going to be different?
Oh, it could be a more compact cuticle, but chances are it's always going to be a little more time consuming because it's probably has more hairs per inch.
Right now, I'm thinking I'm going to probably have to raise that dog's price a little bit, but they're fine with that. They're happy. Unfortunately, they've decided that the other dog doesn't need to be done as often. So now I've got this wonky schedule between the two dogs on different schedules at one house, which I'm happy to accommodate. It's not that big a deal, but it is a little weird because when I pull the schedule up, I'm like, oh, is that Indy or is that Peso? Huh? So, causes challenges. Hey, we've got new groom podsters for Patreon. this week.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Name those names, girlfriend. Name those names.
Well, first we've got Karen. Karen didn't have a last name. So thank you, Karen.
Oh, first name only is fine with me.
Yeah, there, I was fine with that. Oh, and we heard from the name that I butchered last week, and I should have pulled it up, and I didn't. She has a Norwegian name. That's why I couldn't get it right. But anyway, I digress. The second person has a real cool name also. It's Echo Thomas. Echo, well, thank you very much.
That's a cute name.
Yeah, you guys, Patreon is a way you can donate a little bit of money every month. It's a subscription type of a removal from your credit card or debit card or something like that. It's voluntary. It's a way to help support the show. We appreciate it if you choose to do that.
We love you for it.
Yes. So one thing that happened, I noticed this year, that we have not gotten a lot of new membership in the last like 2 months. So if you guys have grooming friends and they're not listening to the show, please share us with them. I might do some Facebook promotions, some boosting of Facebook posts and stuff. But really, the best way we can get our name out is through you guys who listen to us every single week. So tell a buddy about our show. Yay.
All right.
Okay, let's take a break, and then we're going to be back with our first appointment, which is all about fishing for the perfect client. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15 to 1 for deep cleaning, 50 to 1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. When I heard this topic, which I heard discussed on the Traveling Groomers podcast the other day as I was listening, I thought, what a great and fun topic this would be for us to discuss. So thank you, Traveling Groomers podcast. I appreciate you for spurring this thought process in my mind. One of the things I'd like to know, Barbara, is what do you consider your perfect client? Because just like our really cool discussion last week about what you would put in your groomer's kit and what I would put in my groomer's kit, this is another thing where we come from completely different angles because I am a mobile groomer and I have different priorities in my client base than you do as a shop owner. And you're at a different stage in your grooming career than I am. And all of these different things actually affect what a perfect client is. And by client, I mean the human person that brings in the pet. The person that writes our check, the person that hands the money over is the client in this case. What is your perfect client? Give me some attributes that you look for in a perfect client.
Well, I think regularity. I had a client this week that was a new puppy. This was new puppy week. I think I had about three of them. Did you see the post I made of the notes?
Oh, I love the notes.
Ah, the notes. That was so much fun. Okay, well, this is that dog. It's kind of a apricot cocker poodle mix, a cockapoo. And she brought in exhaustive notes that actually, and they were teacher notes, and she admitted that she was a teacher. And then when I showed the notes to Lily, the teenager, she said, "Is that person a teacher? Those are teacher notes." I said,
"Oh,
yes."
Funny.
And she admitted it, and we ended up laughing at her full page of notes when what she wanted was a clip down to a quarter inch all over, including the top of the head, shave poodle face, and leave only a little bit on the ball on the tail. Okay, so that was it. And then she took a page with circles and clouds around things and arrows pointing, and you know, like
I love people like that. I think that's fun.
And not only is that what she wanted, but it was clear that I'm probably not going to see them again until the dog grows so that they can't see its face. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm sure of it. That's not my perfect client. Now, that was a fun interaction, and they're going to be okay clients, but not the kind that pays the rent.
Right.
You know, I want regularity. I want ability to pay my prices.
Right. I've got both of those on my list, too. So those are something we have in common.
Yeah. What else?
Do you want to hear my list? Well, that might bring stuff up for you.
Yeah, let's hear your list.
Okay. I tried to kind of sort it in importance. So the first thing that I think of as a mobile groomer for the perfect client for me, and believe me, everybody's different because I'm not a big burly chick who's packing a gun. You cannot be the least bit scary in any way, shape, or form for me to come to your house and interact with you. If I get my spidey sense prickles, or I get a funny feeling in any way, shape, or form, or I don't like the way you look, or I don't like the way your house looks, or I don't like the car you drive, I am extremely judgmental. I will admit it. I will make a judgment on you, and I will not be the person who's going to groom your pet. So you cannot look intimidating. I've got to pretty much feel like I can take you in a fist fight. I mean, I don't want to put myself in a situation where I'm going to feel threatened or uncomfortable about going to the house. So that's like way up top as a mobile groomer for me. Just underneath that is you need to be really flexible with your scheduling, because I'm consistently all over the board at what time I show up. That is not my area of expertise. I'm going to be late. I'm going to talk. I'm going to play with somebody's pet. I'm going to stop to grab a sandwich. I'm going to hit traffic. Stuff is going to happen. And because I don't want to pin myself down, my life is too short. Life in general is too short to have to worry about being 15 or 20 minutes late to an appointment as a mobile groomer. I don't want that. That is an extremely valuable part of me working for myself. As a result, I need to have you hang out at home on the day your dog gets groomed and be very flexible in the time that I show up. I mean, I'm not usually that late, but I want you to be okay with it if I'm that late. I am not a schedule changer, so you can figure if you've got the appointment, I'm going to be there on that day, but I will take a vacation. I will need you to be flexible about that. You need to be kind of a homebody, and you need to be flexible, which for you, I'm sure that is like completely irrelevant for somebody to be a homebody. They could be on the busiest schedule of all and just drop their dog off to you.
I think that I would add for stationary shop, and I don't do one dog at a time. We multitask. I prefer customers who are comfortable with leaving their dog for 2 or 3 hours, you know, and I'm fine with customers that will leave their dog for 4 hours, you know, and which some people do, because some people coordinate house cleaning with taking the dog out of the house. This is one of the advantages of having a shop for people. Some people really like to take their dog and have it be taken care of somewhere else, and then they go home and do the vacuum that the dog doesn't tolerate, you know, or the cleaning lady comes, or what that the dog would bite, whatever, you know. I do accommodate customers who need a fast turnaround. And sometimes, because of the nature of my styling skills and patience skills, I sometimes have dogs that come a long drive across town or even from outside the whole Tucson area to my shop, and they kind of need an express turnaround, or, you know, like depending on what kind of errands they have to run. So I'll ask them, yeah, what kind of errands you got today? You know, I've got one lady, she really likes a faster turnaround, but if I can't accommodate her on that day, she says, oh, well, oh dear, I guess I have to go antique shopping. That takes longer, you know? So I'm really the most happy with people who are willing to let me keep their dog for a little while.
Sometimes they're people are a little bit tricky, and they will tell you they're okay, but then you find out a little bit later, like in the case of one Bichon named Louie, who I know you know.
I know Louie.
Louie liked to start her day a little bit earlier than I like to start my day, and my biggest problem was when my cat became diabetic, it became difficult for me to leave any earlier than I could leave. I just have this hard out. I can't leave before the cat shot, and you don't want to disrupt things. You want everything to be steady. So she would lie to me, and she would say, oh, I've got to go out at 11 o'clock, so make sure you're here right at 9:30. And I'd go, okay, Donna, but you know how that works. And because I figured out she was completely lying to me. And eventually she went away, and I wasn't going to fire her because I kind of liked them and I thought their lives were interesting to follow. So I kept her on, even though I knew she played this game with the timing. I tolerated that from her. I don't tolerate that kind of stuff anymore. You just got to roll with it. That's just the way it is. Another important thing for me as a mobile groomer that you don't have to consider is I need to be able to park at your house. If I can't park at your house, you're definitely not going to be an ideal client for me. If I've got to walk the dog up from two blocks away, you better be a really cool person, tip me really well, or have a dog I'm in love with. I'll do it, but there's got to be a little motivation for that kind of thing. Vet care for me is important, and it can be a deal breaker. If I can see that you're not taking my vet care advice, if I say, you know, this ear's really looking bad, and I come back two more months in a row and you haven't taken care of that ear, that can be a little bit of a deal breaker. It is not always a deal breaker for me, but just like you, I want people who can pay the bill. But I also want people who take really good care of their dogs and care about their dog's well-being. So that actually comes into play with me in my judgment of who's a perfect client, who gets to be part of the Susie family, and who isn't eligible for that honor, if you will, or curse, depending on what you want
to
think.
No, it's an honor to be in your family. Your clients love you. So that's one of the things that I see that you need, is that you need a customer who's going to love you.
They've got to love hearing about my stories. If they don't want to hear my stories, I quickly tire of them.
I like customers who like my jokes.
Yeah.
I like customers, you know, like I have a pretty wild sense of humor. You know, I can go places people might not expect. That's the truth. But you know how some people trigger your sense of humor and support your sense of humor by the way they interact with you, and other people just don't?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I want the customer that I can joke with. I had one yesterday, and not only, and this is actually the boyfriend of the pet owner. And this is two Greyhound mix bath and buff dogs, right? And I don't have any others of those. I just like really have lost all of those bath type dogs. But this is the boyfriend, and he's trying to be a good boyfriend. So he's paying to have the dogs groomed. It makes it better for him, and it makes it better for his girlfriend. And Susie, not only does he trigger my sense of humor, but he's eye candy.
Oh, the best.
So the best. So I put that down for men. you know, like you need to either have some way that you click with me, or you got to be really cute and that I can just like bask in your presence for a few minutes while we talk about your dog.
Yes, I love it. So you have a little of that worship.
So I don't like too. I don't like boring people. No, you know, no. I want somebody with that triggers my sense of humor, that I enjoy their presence. And when with men, every now and then, I like a little eye candy. I'm not dead yet, Susie.
Yeah. So we do realize that this is a luxury you have when you own your own business, is, you know, being able to search and filter and stuff like that. So I do feel bad for you guys who are working in a shop where you don't get to have the luxury of filtering out who you get to see. In my case, my client base is so small compared to the demand of people out there who want mobile groups. I can be really selective. One of the ways I am selective is with the dog. The dog has to fit into my ability to groom the dog. And for me, that means under 70 pounds, no poodles in poodle cuts, and no cockers. Mixes are okay. The haircut has to be doable by me without me stressing about it, because we all know I stress about haircuts a little bit more than I need to. And they must be able to pre-book their appointments, because I can't really fit you in my schedule unless I can book your next appointment at the time of your current appointment. If I can't do at least that, then we're not going to be able to work together. So those eliminate a lot of people for me.
Yeah, and we differ on a couple of those, because I want people who want the difference that I am. You know, so, you know, I'm going to leave a little bit more hair, do some scissoring, style. And style is a little, not only breed profile, but, you know, I have a knack of bringing forth the cuteness of almost any dog. So
you've got a great eye. You've got a really great eye.
You know, so I want people who are looking for the difference that I am, or who are not just all groomers are the same kind of person. You know, I want them who appreciate the difference that I am, who are looking for either my extra patience that Yvonne and I bring to the table, or the styling skills or breed profile mindfulness that I have. You know, I look for those kind of people.
And I'm extra needs, special needs, pets, and people. So I'm always looking for someone who needs my services. They have to really have an issue that requires my special touch, which is not scissoring, but it's dog handling. And it's getting through the groom with the least amount of anxiety for the pet. It's safely dealing with aggressive and special needs animals with the equipment I have. So for me, pet behavior, less important than pet haircut. Pet haircut for me is not my focus, because it's not my area of expertise. Yeah. I do okay. Like those doodles, like when I finished that doodle, the dog looked great. It really did. I felt good about my finish scissoring, my overall look of that dog. It had some doodle style. They were very happy with the way the dog looked. It had personality. There was just the amount of time that was frustrating me. So I do okay, but it's much more gratifying for me to deal with a dog who comes in so anxious, and then I'm able to, through 6 months or a year of working with the dog, have that disappear. And we may never get to a scissored haircut, but we get to a very pleasant bath and spa experience for that pet. That's where I excel, and people who are looking for that are really the best fit for me. Now we kind of know what's important to both of us. Did we miss anything?
I think it covers most of what I'm looking for, and a little bit of extra just for a laugh.
How do we find these people? For me, it's generally a word of mouth thing, because it's that special needs kind of a situation. It's people talking to people who have other special needs pets that get hooked up with me. And that's my best way of reaching out for the perfect client for me. And if they are coming from a client, they already know one of the people in my client base, then they know about the stories and the late and the dirty trailer outside and the unmarked and all of that stuff. So they get pre-warned and they are prepared to love me right off the bat. So I think that's a good way for me to get the people that I want. What's the best way for you to find the exact kind of people that you're looking for?
I like the word of mouth too, because I really want to weed out and not have my time consumed by people who are price shopping, for example.
Since my primary way of contact is my cell phone, I make sure that on my voicemail, it says my bottom price so that there's no mystery that if you call with a Chihuahua or if you call with a Great Dane, well, the Great Dane is not going to make my weight limit. That's going to come later in the message. But that if you're not willing to pay $85 to have your Chihuahua washed, then I'm probably not the groomer for you. The other thing is I put the weight limit on there and also the days that I'm supposed to work, although we all know that I pretty much work every day, but my in theory work days, the times I return the phone calls and all of that stuff is in my voicemail message so that at least hopefully a few people get weeded out by that. But really, I had a lady earlier this week who apparently completely she called me a couple times. So I know at least one of those times she made it through my whole message, completely disregarded the fact that I was not taking new clients and tried to negotiate a price. It was perfect. So I use my voicemail as a way to like my first line of defense in weeding people out. But you, on the other hand, you have contact from people by text, by email, people walking in the door. So you've got a lot more people you don't get to filter as easily as I do. I only have one feed.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you're right. At the end of the day yesterday, as I went back to the beginning of the day on my texts, and I found this person at 8:35 on Saturday morning had an unknown person just texting me, "Do you have any openings today?" That right off the bat, that's not my customer.
Yeah.
You know, people who are expecting same day or walk-in grooming, every now and then you can get lucky. Because every now and then I have a cancellation that I don't get to fill. But for the most part, you really have to be willing to wait and to get into my rotation. And that's another thing. You got to be honest, have some kind of a schedule, because if you're just working on the "I'll call you when I need you" basis, I might not have any space for you for 3 weeks. You know, like, yeah, that's the other thing that I didn't mention. Regularity. That's
yeah.
It. You have to have on a schedule. I prefer people who will pre-book. I have a couple, three customers that I give a little leeway to. One is a truck driver. You know, his schedule is kind of weird and he may be in town for just a week and a half or something. For the most part, we want predictability and reliability. God, let's move on, Susie. We've beaten this horse to death.
I agree. Let's take a break because I need a break. Then we're going to come back to school and we're going to talk all about, well, we're going to talk about oatmeal again. Unfortunately, not apples and cinnamon oatmeal, but the kind of oatmeal you find in shampoo. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution Shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Talk about beating dead horses.
Well, you know what? This oatmeal thing, it comes up over and over and over again. It's one of the most frequent Facebook topics of all times. And it bubbled up its little brothy face again on the shampoos in the grooming industry list this week.
Oatmeal is a common one. It shows up in lots of shampoos, but the vets use it too. It's even more so than just our industry. It's in their industry. And isn't it one of those things that has like a long history of use?
Yeah. So, you know, in effect, this is what's really funny, because this is the day of natural, right? This
yes.
is the time of natural. I just read an article in the Human Cosmetic Journal, magazine, online, whatever thing, you know, publication, that in human cosmetics, not only are people searching out recognizable botanicals and natural ingredients, but they're interested in what's called the provenance or the history, the story. They want it. Well, here's oatmeal. It's 100% natural. It's not even a derived from oatmeal. Oatmeal is oatmeal.
Right.
Here's oatmeal. It's natural. And it has this history. And even your grandmother probably used it.
My grandmother did, for sure.
But here's how this conversation was opened up. Somebody posted that their familiarity with oatmeal had to do with when they got poison sumac.
Right.
And that was a like poison ivy, that's a rashy, itchy thing. And grandmother or mother used to apply oatmeal. And this person said, and it dried up the rash. So does oatmeal dry out the skin like it dried out that rash? And why is it so popular if it's drying out the skin? And, you know, 100 posts later, everybody said, yeah, I would never use oatmeal. And yeah, oatmeal sucks. And, you know, toss out your oatmeal. And oatmeal dried my dog up like a prune. And on and on. And people applauding the vilification of, I mean, here it is. You want natural. You want history. What's wrong with oatmeal?
Yeah, really. I mean, I used to get into rashy situations, and I remember my mom using oatmeal soaks. I used to soak in an oatmeal bath.
Well, and here's one other thing. Oatmeal is one of those ingredients that has been studied immensely by scientists. It's been broken down. They've identified its parts. They've tested it. I read a science article, a study of over 2,000 people. It was a clinical trial. One of the sub things that they studied in this trial was the moisturization effect of oatmeal. They determined in their study, they had a sub sample of like 90 people. That's a good size sub sample that they did oatmeal patches on, that the moisturization effect lasted for 2 to 3 weeks. after, you know, like, no, I don't know that that was a single treatment, or it was several treatments gauging the effects and then no more treatment. But the moisturization property of the oatmeal was visible and measurable. It was measured. It was scientifically established. So it's natural. It has an ancient history of use, and it's been scientifically demonstrated to be a good thing. Now, what has happened, unfortunately, to oatmeal is that it became a fad ingredient. It was so easily recognized and accepted as a, quote, good thing, that people started just like tossing it in their shampoo to make their shampoo more desirable for your fur baby.
But not in therapeutic amount, right?
Right. Yeah. It was just used, it got misused for just marketing value, sales value, recognition value, much like aloe vera. Someone can like a spit of aloe vera and you can say you have a moisturizer in your shampoo. So it's been misused and used non-mindfully just for the benefit of that people will recognize it as a natural and effective ingredient. But this does not account for why is it so vilified by groomers.
Once an item starts to show up regularly and then the internet get a hold of the fact that it's not in the shampoo in a therapeutic amount, or that the conjecture is that, get this one, it causes yeast infections on the skin.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. I scream when I see this myth that oatmeal feeds a yeast infection. Now, I want to say this once and for all. Canine malassezia does not feed on oatmeal. It does not seek proteins. It feeds on skin oils, sebum. Proteins or oatmeal are not a feedstock for canine yeast. It doesn't use it that way. It's not true. It's misinformation that has been passed down to vilify oatmeal so that you could sell them something more expensive with a more expensive ingredient in it. It drives me crazy, Susie. All of this misinformation just popping up and be reshot into the universe and accepted by groomers one after the other.
So earlier you said something that's very interesting to me. In medicated shampoos, and oatmeal will fall under the medicated shampoo realm in that you need to leave it on with contact time and that it has a beneficial effect when you use it. Most of the medicated shampoos have very little residual effect. Chlorhexidine has a little bit of residual effect. And guess what? You're saying that oatmeal actually has a residual effect, meaning that there's some benefit from it after you've washed it off. And people are still bad-mouthing this fully natural product. It's amazing.
I know. It's just so incongruous with other lines of thinking that it's amazing. So anyway, thanks for letting me vent. I just needed to, if they're going to continue to bring up the myths, and the myth that oatmeal is a bad ingredient, as long as that happens, I'm going to have to keep talking about it and saying, you know, I mean, Susie, I did an exhausting study this morning. I mean, I was in Google Scholar. Google Scholar is so difficult. You cannot ask Google Scholar a question. You have to find the right terms. You have to say like contraindications of oatmeal with canine malassezia. Well, there are none. There is no place where the scientists or the veterinary medicine people or dermatologists say, oh, don't use oatmeal on yeast. It's not there. You know, so here's a little funny. Do you know the difference between an exhaustive study and an exhausting study?
No, what is it?
Well, an exhaustive study is where you've read everything. You've gone down every rabbit hole. An exhausting study is when you get goddamn tired of reading these technical articles, none of which say oatmeal is a bad ingredient. I did an exhausting study. It was not exhaustive. I'm sure there's more out there, but I didn't find any little trail to follow to support the notion that oatmeal feeds yeast.
It just doesn't exist.
It's not a thing, people.
So if you guys have friends who are trying to pass this myth along, you can feel free to share this podcast with them. Episode 204 of the Groom Pod talks about why yeast is not fed by oatmeal. So there you go. Barbara, hey, let's talk about the sponsor of the Definition du Jour, and that's Show Season Pet Products. I got a sample recently of the Finish It Spray. And I think it's a scissoring spray, but I really liked it. And I was wondering, what do you know about this Finish It spray?
Well, I've used the Finish It spray myself. And yes, it is a scissoring spray. And a scissoring spray is something you don't know you need till you use it. We really used finishing spray. One of the features of all finishing sprays is there's an anti-static ingredient. So this is such an Arizona thing. I get into the shop and we had a Norwich Terrier that was coming in for hand stripping. And Yvonne, I've taught her to hand strip. She can do a whole lot without me. So she can get started on a hand strip before I arrive at the shop. I arrived at the shop and Yvonne had been working on this Norwich Terrier for like an hour or so. And she came out to talk. She put the dog up and came out to talk to me. And she had hair stuck on her clothing. and even her butt was covered with hair. And she says, the hair today, it's just driving me crazy. And I said, well, look at it sticking to you. She said, I know. You know, it was because there was so much static in our atmosphere. And as I was hand stripping, so we try to collect the hand stripping here so we can do a show and tell to the owners. It's not required by law or anything, but it's just a part of transparency in hand stripping, because there are people out there who will say they hand strip and they don't really do it. So we always want to show what we got off the dog today. Well, as the hair was falling on my table and on me, I would pick the hair up, gather up a handful, and I put it in a little wastebasket that you use beside you. And Yvonne had done the same. Well, I couldn't get the hair to go from my hand into the basket. Do you know what? When that happens, I get weird. That weirds me out. Well, you know,
I'm kind of with you on that.
It weirds me out when I have when I'm packaging up my aromatherapy oils to sell them to send them to Show Season. I have these bubble wrap envelopes that you can use, so I can put 5 bottles of aromatherapy in there in a nice little bubble wrapped envelope. And then you have to like pick off the seal, tear it off, or you know, lift it off. And then those seals stick to my hand. And I'm going, ew, ew. Get off of me. And when that hair was doing the same thing, it just wouldn't go into the basket. Like, come on. We just ended up saying, never mind. It's a regular customer. But what I was doing all week long is I was misting finishing spray just over my table, and it would drift down. And the Show Season finishing spray, Finish It, is an excellent product to use for controlling static as you finish a dog. using a little bit of finishing spray will even help you, your clipper work be better, smoother, faster, nicer. You know, how do you use it?
The way I was using it was just putting it on and letting it dry on the coat. Like, I'm not blowing it into the coat. I was just kind of letting it dry on the coat. And I was going to ask you, is that the right way to go about it? Or do I blow it into the coat like I would a silicone spray?
No, you use it after everything. It's usually used on a dry coat, and you want to mist it in such a way that it doesn't really dampen the coat. So you're right that if a coat is getting damp and you're just drying it into the coat, that's fine. I usually use it without any further drying, but I just mist it and scissor, mist, comb up and scissor, mist, comb up and scissor. And like this week, I was just occasionally picking up my scissoring spray and spraying the air over my table. That was just helping to control the static cling of everything.
Well, I used it on that doodle that I scissor. Well, I scissor finish every dog, but I really tried to get a really nice, after looking at all those bad haircuts I've done a month ago.
Kind of made you settle down. And
well, and I'm getting much more used to sitting next to my table and scissoring while sitting, which is much more comfortable because I'm not moving as much. Turns out, well, I tend to hold a little bit stiller when I'm sitting down because I'm not jostling back and forth on my uncomfortable feet. So I think all in all, it's helped me scissor a little bit better. I mean, I'm still not the best scissorer, but the Finish It spray I used before I was scissoring, maybe that's why it looked so good. I don't know. It has the Pacific breeze smell to it, and I really dig that smell. That's one of my favorite show season fragrances. So I just was using it and noticing how much I liked it, but not a replacement for like a Quicker Slicker or my Ultramax Finish.
Right. It's not a detangler.
Okay.
It's just meant to help the hair kind of stand up on end so that when you go to scissor, you comb up first. Well, the scissoring spray just helps you comb up easily, stack the coat easily, and it holds the coat out so that that you can get a more plush result.
So if you guys want to try this Finish It spray, you can give Show Season a call at 678-382-0218 and get yourself all set up with a wholesale account. And then in the future, you can email them instead. Or you can go to your local distributors, like where I got mine, which is my friend Michael at Cascade Grooming Supply. But they also have it at Groomers Mart and lots of other distributors. One more quick break, and then we'll be back with some studying tips for certification.
Oh, we're going to actually get there this week. Yay,
Tuesday. I'm going to blast through it, though. But yes, we're going to work it.
All right.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Okay, guys, we were asked a question on Facebook about how best to study if anyone had made flashcards or anything like that for certification. And I started to think that I bet there's some great tips out there for how to memorize stuff. I used to do a lot of plays, so I'm pretty good at memorizing things. I don't know how I do it other than repetition. So I looked up some tidy tips for memorization, and I thought we'd just kind of throw them out there here at the end of the show.
Throw them out.
There's two parts about memorization. One is storing the information, and then the second part is accessing it again later. So it's important to have a good study space. Everybody agrees with that. I guess I agree with that. I don't know. I'm pretty good in a busy room or a quiet room. I can do either. But they say no distraction, which means like no kids, no significant others, no pets, nothing in your way that's going to distract you so you can really focus.
No TV.
Yeah, no TV. There's a lot of studies these days that say if you exercise before you do the memorization.
Bullshit. No kidding. Get away from me with the exercise shit.
Well, I'm just reading what I said. This is like off of, I can't remember if it was Forbes or anyway. Here's another one that kind of falls into the same woo-woo area. Green tea is supposed to help you remember things. I don't know that I believe that any more than I believe the exercise thing, but whatever.
Well, I'll be more likely to do that.
Well, I'm more likely to exercise. It just shows we come from things from two different directions, but it doesn't matter because we're going to be friends forever. The one thing I do agree with, though, is study over a matter of weeks rather than a matter of days. If you can really start, which is hard for lifelong procrastinators. You know, I know Barbara is a writing procrastinator. It's hard to force yourself.
I know. Yeah. I know. And you know what? I never took a final exam in college without staying up all night.
I never studied very well the night before, but I was a good crammer the weekend before. I was pretty good about that. People learn in different ways. That's pretty much evident. Some people are visual learners and some people are audio learners. Like sometimes people do better listening to a lecture and other people do better reading a book. For me, I'm better listening to a lecture. My husband is far better looking at the book. So here's some tips for the visual learners. Summarize your subject matter in your own words. So in this case, we're talking about the dog breeds. Physically write down, have it go through your fingers and onto a piece of paper. In your own words, the physical attributes you want to remember about each breed. You can color code them, like make all the terriers yellow and all the non-sporting green and all the sporting dogs blue or something like that. You can color coding because that also helps your mind remember. Assign an image to the information, you know, get that picture in your mind of one specific terrier for the characterization, you know, maybe a dog that you groom that you can specifically remember. That'll help. Use acronyms and rhyming. Did you do that in music, Barbara?
No.
We did for the scales. Every good boy does fine and good boys do fine always are the two scales for the piano.
I never went there. I studied percussion, girlfriend. It was folkloric drumming. You know, the folklorics, they don't do that. The African teachers that come to your community, they don't do that shit. You know, in fact, sometimes they don't even teach very well. They just get angry at you because you're murdering their folkloric drumming. No.
Okay. Well, in music, that's the easiest place I can remember for remembering the clefs on the scale. Now I can't even remember what it's called. Anyway, every good boy does fine. Good boy do fine always. There's another one with typing for the home keys. I don't remember what it is, but the brown fox runs fast, quickly, or I don't know.
Swiftly.
That was it. See, you do know what an acronym is. So you make up your own acronyms about each specific breed that you think you're going to remember. A big important thing is study those pictures in the AKC book or off the AKC website. Just look at those pictures because those pictures are generally the ones they use for the test.
That's important. If you're going for certification, find out what references they're using.
Yeah.
You know, and then you want to go there too, because if they're using an outdated American Kennel Club, you need to go into the old book. I think most of the certifying bodies these days have updated their references to current references. Another tip that I would throw in is like try to anticipate questions. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. Pretend that you're making up a quiz and also look for questions as you read and absorb information. You know, like, oh boy, that could be a trick question. Okay, well, kind of compose that and go at it that way. And another thing is, I think it's really helpful to stay within the breed groups for a while. In other words, don't jump around, but do all your terrier breeds together, because then you're going to find the similarities as well as the differences. That might be a question.
Yeah, one of the tips I have is go section by section and move on only when you really have that entire group memorized. Don't try to mix up the groups. Do a whole study on one particular group, and then once you've got that, and you can quiz that, and you can make up your own flashcards. I know, Barbara, you made flashcards, didn't you?
Yeah, we made flashcards with a picture of the dog on one side, and on the other side of the card were the dominant features or a trick question, you know.
Yes, but repeat then when you move on to another section or a different group in this case, repeat the ones you've already learned and then add the new ones into it. So by the time, that's why it's important to start early so that you can accumulate all of the knowledge and continue to repeat. Yeah.
And a partridge in a pear tree. It's
yes. Okay. Exactly like that. So for me, I'm an audio learner, so I want to read it and listen to it at the same time. So I generally will record my own version of the things I think are important. And instead of flashcards, then I play it through my earphones while I'm doing other things. So I kind of have it going in the background. That's how I learned lines, is I ran the lines with somebody, I recorded it, and then I played it to myself. When I was in the car, I was driving, I'd pop the cassette in. So that for me works really well, almost better than flashcards for me. But do what works best for you. Teach it to somebody else. Get a friend in who doesn't know what you're learning and teach them the subject matter that you're studying. Like, get another groomer and quiz them, because that's going to help you learn as well, like Barbara said. Well,
or even just have a certification partner.
Great
that's
idea.
It's either, you know, like you can either seek out someone who is at your level, who's going also wants to certify, or find someone who can be your one-on-one mentor, or both.
Yeah, that's both. Yeah, definitely.
You know, or find someone like myself that you could send your photos of your grooms to, who will mindfully critique your grooms.
Yes, great thing. Great thing. Go to a school and have somebody go over your grooming. That definitely helps.
In terms of certification, building on what you just said, it can be extremely valuable and time-saving if you can attend any classes that the certifying body offers before preparation for certifying classes. You know, one time I went to the NDGAA was in town. Oh, this is so many years ago. and they gave a Cocker Spaniel, like a preliminary seminar on Cocker Spaniel to me that I attended all by itself, and I wasn't certifying at the time. But it so raised my level of understanding the Cocker group that it was well worth it. And if you are certifying, it will just help to channel your mind into what's important to learn for that particular certification. So anytime you can go to a preparation meeting, do it.
And that's a great place to find a certification buddy, like Barbara was talking about. And if you can't find a certification buddy and you're stuck with yourself as your own buddy, quiz yourself. Write down from memory on paper what you remember about each specific dog breed and each group, and go through that as well, because anytime it goes through your mind and then comes out of your hand, it seems to kind of cement stuff in your brain. And last but not least, don't get overtired when you're studying, because you'll start to be counterproductive. So take breaks when you study. Don't study for longer than an hour at a time. And an hour is even a long amount of time for me. I'm more of a half an hour study person. Twice a day is better for me. You know, think training. If you're going to train a dog, you do little bits of training all throughout the day. Do that. Break it up so you're not tired, so your mind is awake and ready to accept the knowledge. All right. There. That's my tutorial on
Oh, thank you, Susie.
You're welcome. Well, I so enjoyed our morning together, Barbara, as I do every week here on the Groom Pod. And I want to remind you guys, share us with your friends. Tell everybody about our podcast. We love that you guys do that. We appreciate all the Amazon and Patreon and donation stuff you guys do. And Barbara, I appreciate you more than you'd ever know. By the way, you look like a freaking hottie in the Facebook with your new do, man. That is good looking. And the funnier thing is right now, Barbara's wearing rabbit ears, but they're going straight out of the side of her head.
I know. They were slipping. I thought it was a good look. Oh, I know. I'm so excited about my new haircut. And this woman is a great hookup. She's an animal rescue person. I mean, she's a resource in our community. She's a part of this kind of off-the-grid resource scene for animals. She's fabulous. And Susie, the way she went, her scissoring technique freaked me out.
What did she do?
Yeah, well, you know, you're used to seeing hairdressers, they kind of lift a section of your hair and hold the finger, the over fingers thing. She never did that. She just had these little scissors and she just point in attacking my hair. It was so scary. And she just sculpted that way and it came out looking like it did. It's an amazing technique. She's so creative, and I'm sure that it's a thing in hairdressing. This point-in scissoring is a current technique, but I had never had it used on me, and it was really freaky. And I'm so glad that I prioritized myself. You know, that could be another whole conversation. But what happened is I prioritized myself. I recognized that I was letting my hair take me into a much old lady framework. And I just discarded her. Even though I was kind of liking my hair at length, I just discarded her. Not ready. She can come out next year, 2 years from now. You know, like, nah, not ready yet.
Yeah, she knocked 10 years off of you instantly with that hair.
Yeah,
that was fabulous.
Yeah,
you look so fantastic. And I'm glad you put that picture up, and it was really fun to see it. And you guys, next week, I had a Facebook request about tear staining, so I'm going to go over some tear staining facts next week, and hopefully you guys will join us. Thanks for being here. Happy grooming, everybody. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Take care, guys. See ya.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.groompod.com. susie.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.